2 Samuel chapter 23 this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 23. I want us to look at this morning a thought about staying put. Staying put in the lentils. Or staying put in the pea patch, as we're going to see in this portion of Scripture. And I want us to look at that idea of staying put. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 23 deals a lot with the mighty men that surrounded David. It talks about many of the men that were, in a sense, David's bodyguards, if you will. They were the ones that were around him, protected him, and around him. Now, verse 11 and verse 12, we're going to deal with just one of those individuals that was close to David and that was there. But we're going to see this individual here who actually stood his place and stayed his ground. Now, as we know, and I know Brother Mark's hit this a little bit in Sunday school for those who are here, and we're in the battle. We've talked about being in the battle. We talked about many things happening. Many times we do not stay our ground. And we need to stay put. We're going to look at this idea in our lives this morning of staying put. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 11 to verse 12. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hittite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you for your precious word. Lord, as we look at this portion of Scripture, I pray that you would just help us to see the truths that you have for us. Help us to glean these truths. Help us to encourage our hearts and soul, Lord, to live a life that's pleasing to you and to stay our ground. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Look with me again in verse number 11. I want you to see some thoughts here. It was a time of great conflict, the time of great conflict. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hittite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. The Philistines, the first tells us the Philistines came when the people were in the field. This was a time of great conflict. This was a time when the people were in the harvest field. This was a time they were gathering the harvest. They were gathering the peas, the lentils, those things that were given there. Now, many times in our lives, when you are reaping the harvest, are you worried about war? Are you worried about the battle? Are you worried about what you're facing and what's going on? No, you're excited about what is coming, your produce, what is going to happen in that harvest time there. Now, they were occupied and busy getting the crops in, taking care of that. They weren't even paying attention to the enemy that they were facing. It was a time of great conflict. You see, the enemy comes when we have a time of great joy in our lives. The enemy usually comes when we aren't paying attention to that. We're paying attention to something else in our lives. The enemy comes when you and I are focused on our busyness of life, all the joys of life, sometimes even the sorrows of life. But we're focused on something else, not focused on the battle or the warfare that we're in and the battle that we're facing. Now, as they're gathering this, they're going through all this, putting all this together, this is when the enemy comes to them. It was a time when they thought they had nothing to worry about, but it was a time when the enemy was coming for them. Why did the enemy come? Why did the enemy come at this time? The enemy came because, one, it wanted to cause casualties. Number two, it wanted to harm their produce. Why? Well, if they could injure some of the individuals, hurt some of the individuals, get some of the individuals to flee, they would have less to worry about when they came and attacked again. Number two, what happens if they would cut down their harvest, their produce? they would cut down why they would weaken them, because they would not have the food that they needed to be able to have the strength they needed to go into battle, to go into war. Let me ask each of us a question this morning. Why does the enemy attack us? One, the enemy wants to see casualties. See, it's a time of great conflict because the enemy wants to see casualties. He wants to see people who are blood-bought by the precious blood of the Lamb drop off. He wants to see individuals that were one time on fire for God, living for God, sold out for God, to flee and quit and be done. He wants to see casualties. Many of you have seen casualties of war in this spiritual realm. You've seen these casualties take place. You've seen this happen. Why? Because the devil comes in, the enemy comes in, and he wants to get to some individuals. Now let me ask you, what individuals does he usually want to attack? The ones that at one time doing something for God. Who does he usually leave alone? Those that are weak and aren't doing anything. Now that's scary. Because if you've gone through your Christian life and you've never been attacked and the enemy's never come to you, that makes me examine myself. That makes me look within, because the enemy's going to attack those living for God. You see, we usually think, well, the enemy attacks others. If I live for God, the enemy should never attack me. No. The enemy is attacking you because you are living for God. Because you are trying to do something for His honor and His glory. You are going forward for Him. That's when the enemy is going to attack you. And then the enemy knows what? Casualties. But he also knows if he can make you weak, you're defeated. How many of you have gone a length of time without eating because you got a sickness and you did not feel like eating? And what happens? You start to get very weak, and you're not able to do certain things. We have, or Ethan has, a guinea pig, Charlie. Now, Charlie is Ethan. Ethan loves Charlie, petting Charlie. It's his soothing. He loves it. He'd rather have a cat, but because of allergies and stuff, we can't have a cat, so he's his guinea pig. Well, it was doing great. Then this last week, it went from eating and drinking and doing everything to not doing well at all. But as the weaker he got, he was unable to eat things. Well, Tanya got a syringe and this hay stuffy mixing water. It looks very tasty. If you want to try some, you can. And she put the stuff in the syringe. And she has to hold and she has to feed this thing. And now all of a sudden you see some more energy coming. You see some things happening, and that takes place. But when you don't have your food, you don't have your nutrition, you don't have things, you become weak. And when you become weak, that's when you become defeated. And what was happening is the Philistines came and attacked them when they were on the high, but they were trying to get them to go from the high to the low in their lives so they could be defeated. What did the enemy find? The enemy found that the people fled before them. The enemy found that it was a time of great conflict because the people were scared of the enemy. Now, I understand we have to be aware of our enemy. We have to understand that our enemy is powerful. We have to understand that our enemy is real. We have to understand that our enemy can attack us. But we do not need to flee our enemy. We need to stay our ground. Too many people, as soon as the water gets a little hot, they go the other way. They don't stay there. We're going to see what takes place with one of the servants here of Shema, and what he did is he stood his ground. But the conflict came, and the people fled. What is happening in our world today? Many Christians are fleeing. Many Christians are just saying it's just too hard to stay in the race. It's too hard to stay in the pea patch. It's too hard to stay put. There's just too much. Why? Because the devil, the enemy, is coming. He's fighting. And as he's fighting, we're said, no, we can't do this. We're going to have to pull back. We're going to have to retreat. We're going to have to do something else. We can't live for God anymore. We can't serve God anymore. We need to be encouraged this morning that we can live for God. We're going to see this in this portion of Scripture. But they fled. many believers are fleeing. Just look around. Not just in this church, but look around in America today. Look around in other churches you know of. Look around and you see. Many are not staying their ground. The enemy has come in. I tell you, it's interesting as I looked in and studied some things and see what has taken place in homes of Christian homes. We grew up in Michigan, and the church we grew up was Faith Baptist of Warren, Michigan. A group of individuals, a lot of them that were the age of my parents, are now divorced. Several of them don't even go to church. Why? Because they didn't stay the ground. You look around and you see individuals that even went to Bible college and went to here and went to there and they studied and they do this. They don't even go to church. They want nothing to do with God. Why? Because they haven't stayed the ground. You see people that got saved, got on fire for God, were fired up serving God for 15, 20 years of their lives. Now they're falling by the wayside. Why? They're not staying the ground. They're not staying there. They're fleeing the enemy. Now look with me in verse number 12. I want you to see. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. What took place? This goes with what we've been looking at Sunday evenings about standing in the gap. And filling in that void, that emptiness. What took place? What happened? Everyone else left, but there was one that stood. There's one that stood the ground. There's one that stayed there and said, I'm going to defend this. They're not going to get the pea patch. They're not going to get the lentils. They're not going to get our harvest. They're not going to defeat us. We're going to have victory. You see, it was a time of great courage. He had a resolve, and he had a reason. Do you and I not have a resolve this morning? We should have a resolve. Resolve is, I'm going to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. My resolve is, I'm going to live for God day in and day out. My resolve is, no one's going to defeat us. We're going to stay true. We're going to stay strong. We're going to stay those things. My reason is, why? Because God is most important in my life. My reason is I can't let the enemy win. God wins. God gets the victory. In your life and mine, the enemy comes. Are we fleeing or are we standing? We need to stand. As dads, we need to stand and say, you ain't getting my family. I have a resolve. You're not getting my family. I have a reason. Because my family I've given to God. As a dad, you're not going to have my home. I'm going to stand. Oh, doesn't mean there's not going to be some battles. Doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. Doesn't mean the enemy's not going to still come. But I'm not going to let you have my home. As a mom, I'm not going to let you have my kids. I'm not going to let you have my marriage. I'm not going to let you have it. I'm going to stand my ground. Oh, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be just a bed full of roses. It's going to be some hard times. But I'm going to stay my ground. I'm going to stay there because I'm resolved that my family is going to live for God. My kids are going to live for God. And I have a reason because I don't want the devil to have my home. I don't want the devil to have my spouse. I don't want the devil to have me. I'm resolved to stand. We have to stand and say, I'm not going to let the devil have my life. Victory in my life. I have a resolve that because I'm saved, because he's my king, because he's my Lord, I'm resolved that I'm going to live for him. I have a reason because he bought me. I have a reason and I'm going to do it, but I'm resolved not to fold. I'm resolved in my life as a believer, blood bought by the precious blood of the Lamb, that I'm going to stay true to God and live for him. We need individuals to stay our ground and say, I'm not going to give the devil any victory in my life anymore. I'm not going to give him place in my life. I'm not going to allow him in. I'm going to be steadfast and immovable. I'm going to flee from him. I'm not going to allow him in. We got to stand our ground and say, this ground, my family, my home, my life, my church, I'm going to stand. And the devil's not going to get victory. You know what's happening many times in our churches today? Churches are going. Because individuals aren't willing to take a stand. A lot of times in our lives, we think it's easier not to take a stand. What if this individual didn't take a stand? They would have lost their harvest. What happens if you and I don't take a stand in our churches, in our homes, in our families? We're going to lose them. The devil's going to get victory. There's churches across America who are shutting their doors, they're totally changing because individuals aren't willing to take a stand. Because they're more worried about finances than they are worried about standing for God. They're more worried about people liking them in the community than standing for God. They're more concerned about this and that than standing their ground. We say this is our pillar. This is what we base everything on. But oh, when the enemy comes, what do? We flee. I understand we're in a different age, but my Bible still teaches against homosexuality. It's what it teaches. I got to stand my ground. Oh, it's not popular. It's not that the enemy's going to attack. They might try to pull and make churches pay taxes, and they might try to do this and try to do that, but we got to stay our ground. It's not popular to take a stand against abortion, but the Bible does. We have to take a stand. It's not popular in our day and age with this whole transgender stuff. But let me tell you, my Bible says there's a man and there's a woman. There's nothing in between. And it doesn't change. And we have to take a stand. It's not popular of the day. It's not what people want. But we have to take a stand. The enemy wants to get in. The enemy wants to defeat. The enemy wants to try to change. The enemy wants to get victory. God has to have victory. Well, preacher, you just don't understand. They're born with it. Yeah, we're all born with a sin nature. And we all need Jesus Christ as our Savior who can take away that sin in our lives. Yes, we're all bent towards sin when we're born. Yes, we all have a desire for the flesh and fulfilling the flesh in those things. That's all those are. And yes, people can be born that way. But you know what they need? Is Jesus Christ, because he's the only one can change them. We got to take a stand. We got to take a stand in our day and age against even the ecumenical movement and things that are happening today. Now, I don't want to sound unkind or unloving or anything of that, but let me tell you, if someone teaches a different gospel, I cannot stand next to them and hold hands and sing Kumbaya, my Lord, because it's a different message. Now, I'm not going to say they're terrible and they're wicked and all this, but I'm going to say they're wrong and they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. We got to take a stand. We got to take a stand against those things. We got to stand up for what is right and what God's word says. Oh, it'd been easy to say, well, I'm just going to go ahead and let you have the pea patch. No, he stood his ground. And what does it say? He defended his ground. We got to defend it. We got too many wishy-washy people that aren't willing to defend. Now, we got to do truth and love. Don't get me wrong. And we got to have tact in how we handle things. And we got to have the love. And we got to have all that. But let me tell you, we can't be wishy-washy. We have too many chameleon Christians today that change colors wherever group they're in and have a fit. I have a friend I went to college with. I still keep in contact with him. He is hilarious. Every group he's in, he's what they are. And he changes all the time. And he changes to meet what they are. One minute, he's the most conservative person you ever met in life. We would look like a bunch of liberals in this church. The next week, makes us look like we're the most conservative people that ever walked the face of this earth. And it changes. But how many believers change that way in our lives? We can't be chameleons. We can't be wishy-washy. We got to defend it. We got to stand up and defend what is right. You cannot be wishy-washy in your homes. We have too many moms and dads that are wishy-washy. We have too many adults, authorities, leaders that are wishy-washy. We have too many sending a mixed message to the families and to the homes. The parents need to send the right message and defend their homes and stand for their homes and not send a mixed message to their kids. We need people in our churches that stand their ground and stop sending a mixed message to this next generation. This next generation is getting a totally skewed message. It is totally messed with the message you're getting. It's messed up. But it's coming from us. It's coming for us that should be taking the stand. This next generation is getting the message that it's okay for certain. No, we got to take the stand as this generation and say, bless God, we're going to stand this way. What's the message we got from the generation before and the generation before? What did your great-grandparents say? Where do they stand? What was their stance? Where were they at? We got to stand. And to defeat it. Now look, and defend it. And he slew the Philistines. Interesting. Everyone else fled. He stood. He defeated. And he slew. Sometimes in our lives, we stay because we know we're supposed to. We stay our ground, which is good. Sometimes we even try to defend it. But what happens sometimes? We start defending, and what happens? We even get more attacks within. Oh, I'm talking the Philistines coming in, the enemy's coming in and attacking. We're standing our ground, bless God, we're not going to be moved. We're going to go ahead and defend it. We're defending it. But what happens? Our spouse starts attacking us. Our kids start attacking us. Other church members start attacking. Other so-called believers start attacking. And what happens is we're defending and then we quit. We never get rid of the enemy. And what did he do? He slew the Philistines. That's what needs to happen. You say, what do you mean? Well, let me give this. If you're defending your home and you're saying they're not going to have my home, they're not going to have my kids, and I stood my ground, I'm defending my ground, but because the pressure of my kids, I give in to my kids and let them watch anything they want to watch on TV. Let me tell you, you didn't get rid of the enemy. You didn't slew the enemy. oh, I'm going to defend this and I'm going to stand for this and I'm not going to. But we allow it still to have some place. We're not getting rid of it. If we're allowing our kids to pick and choose if they go to church or not, we're not getting rid of the enemy. If we allow our kids to dictate the home, we're not getting rid of the enemy. If we allow those who are supposed to be saved in our home, even our spouses and unsaved, and those dictate what we do and we end up quitting and standing our ground, we have not got rid of the enemy in our home. We got to get rid of the enemy. He slew the Philistines. Even our own lives. You know what we need to do? We need to get rid of the enemy. We need to slew the Philistine, the enemy in our life. And we got to stop giving him place in our hearts and our lives. It's one thing to stand. It's another thing to defend. But the third is we have to get rid of it. He did away with the Philistines. Let me ask you a question. What would happen if he stood his ground? He defended his ground. But the Philistine says, hey, we're not going to attack you anymore. Let's just sit still here in this land. We're going to become your friends and your neighbors. And we're going to work together with you. And we're going to help you. You guys go, that's the most foolish thing in the world. Why would anyone ever believe that? But what would happen if they did that? You tell me they're going to sit back and do nothing? No, they're going to come back and rise up against. That's the same thing we do in our lives. We stand, we defend, but we say, come and let's hold hands. All right, you told me you're not going to attack us anymore. You told me this is okay. You told me that's okay. And then we put the enemy right back there, and we're thinking we're good. No, what did he have to do? He had to get rid of the enemy. And that's what we must do. Now, I want you to look at this last thought here. In this, we see the conflict. We see the courage. But I want you to see, as we look at this courage, and I want you to see where the victory came from. And the Lord wrought a great victory. The Lord brought the victory. He wrought it. He's the one that defeated them. No. This man defeated them. No. This man was used of God to defeat the enemy. But God brought the victory. This is a crucial point we must get. You and I must understand the conflict. We must stand our ground. We must defend it. We must slew the enemy. But we must realize God is the only one that can bring the victory. Why did God bring the victory? Because this individual did what he was supposed to do in his life. And when he did what he was supposed to do, God gave the victory. Well, preacher, I don't see victory in my life. I try to stay on the ground. I try to do those things. But I'm not getting victory. Because you're not allowing God to do it. Because most of us, as human beings, like to try to take matters in our own hands. We like to defend. We like to try to do it ourselves. And when we do that, we'll get defeated. But I got to stay on my ground. I got to defend it. I got to slew him. But I got to go to God and say, God, you can be the only one that brings the victory in my life. You're the only one that can give me the victory that I need. What did David say when he defeated Goliath? Who gave him the victory? God did. Go throughout Scripture. When they got victory, who gave the victory? God gave the victory. The reason we're being defeated today is we're not allowing God to get the victory. And we're not tapping in to his power and his strength. But God brought the victory. How does God bring the victory? God brings the victory by us being obedient to Him. And obedience brings victory. Faith brings victory. Steadfastness brings victory. Listening to God brings victory. God can take the smallest individual and give them the greatest victory. Because it's not you, it's not me. It's us surrendering to God that brings the victory. The enemy is great, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The enemy is great, but God is greater. We look at our situation, no matter what situation you're in, and some individuals are ready to flee. Just too hard. They don't want to stay in the pea patch. Conflict has come. The strife has happened. But they don't want to stand. But if you stand, God can and God will give you the victory. I'll just imagine, if you will, could you imagine the thoughts must have gone through this man's mind? Everyone else running. But he stood. Let's be honest. How many of us would stay if you saw everyone else running? Most of us would have taken off too. How many of you would have stayed for a little bit? And then when you saw the last other person gone, then you decided to go. How many of us would have stood and the last person left, but we're still standing there? But man, the enemy started getting really hard. They all started coming out from every angle, every place around us. Everywhere you turned, you saw the enemy. Everywhere you looked, they were there. They were coming. How many of us then would have taken out our white flag and said, I quit? But he didn't do it. Does it seem possible that he could have victory against those many? No. Does it seem possible against the Philistines? No. Did it seem possible that one person could do it? No. But one person didn't do it because he had God with him. We cannot leave, as we preached last week, we cannot leave God out of the equation. God was there with him and God gave him the victory. In your life and my life, be encouraged. Stand. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't flee. Stay true and stand for right and keep living for God day in and day out, because there's some things worth fighting for. There's some things worth standing for and defending for, and God is worth standing for and defending and living for Him. There's some things in our lives that we got to take a stand and rise up and say, I'm not going to let the enemy have victory. God is going to have victory. As we go through our lives, be encouraged. No matter what you're facing, God can and God will give victory in your lives if you and I just surrender to Him and say, bless God, I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to live for you. I'm not going to be pushed about. And we can have victory. We need victory in our homes today. We need victory in our homes. This generation is falling by the wayside. Our kids, our young people, going. And what's happening is we have parents aren't standing. We have grandparents aren't standing anymore. It's happening. We don't have victory today. We have many adults that were raised in church, have a profession of faith, who don't even darken the door of a church anymore. They're not standing in the ground. God doesn't have the victory. The enemy does. It's sad, but it's true. In 10 years, where will individuals even in this room be? In April, we've been here a total of 17 years. I went back, looking through the church minutes from the time we were here. And those that have been around, we've had ups and downs and all arounds. And all the people that are not here today, some moved, some this, some that, but I would say somewhere around 60 to 70% of them aren't even in a church today. Wow. Wow. We're not standing our ground. You say, well, that won't be me. Most of those individuals probably would have said the same thing. Because some of those individuals, and if I would give you names, and I won't, but if I would give you names, you would never thought that. But they're not standing in the ground. And if you and I don't stand our ground, we're going to be another casualty. We're going to become weak. And we're going to become defeated. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. And Lord, we ask that you just use this message to encourage our hearts. Speak to us. Help us to take the stand that we need. Help us to defend the ground. And help us to slew the Philistine and see you get the victory. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.